Hello and welcome to the Dad Up Radio Show. This is a father-friendly, father-focused space to empower fathers and father figures to strengthen the connection between their children and themselves. I am your host, Seamus Gordon. Let's dad up. All right. Well, happy Friday. Happy Friday, everyone. It is a new day. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. It is such an honor to have four dads in the house this morning. Right. We're going to go through who they are, and some of them might sound familiar and others might not. But listen, if it's Friday, it is
Social Wellness Day.
Social Wellness Day. Some of you might be thinking, what on earth is that? So on this show, we follow a pattern, a trend. It's called SPIES. We inspire our fathers, we hope we do, and father figures to become better spies. On Mondays, we focus on the spiritual, that's the S. On Tuesdays, we focus on the physical well-being. On Wednesdays, we look at the intellectual / mental health. On Thursdays, we look at the emotional, and today, Friday, we'll look at the social life or the social development, for want of a better word, for dads and father figures. So I want to welcome two special, well, actually three special people, because Charles, you're always my brother. You're here every time.
Right, I was and about to question that.
I know, man. You know,
best we'll leave day
the
best, ever.
We'll leave the best for last. Welcome, my brother. So David is in the house. Goliath isn't, but David is.
All right.
David is one of the producers and one of the staff here at WCNO. And we invited him to be part of the show this morning. So he's behind all sort of technological buttons and whatnot. But not only that, he's a dad. Not a granddad yet, no?
Not yet.
No, he's a dad. He's also a minister of the gospel. But even when that, you can retire from that? No, you can't.
You'll
always be a minister.
Never.
And neither can you retire from being a dad.
Amen. That's
listen, man,
thing.
We appreciate you. Honestly, there have been times when you would leave your home to come up here because we needed somebody up here, and you would come. Thank goodness you don't live far from the station. So, my brother, thank you for what you do, and we'll be talking to you in a minute, but we love you, sir.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
We have another young man here in, actually, he's the youngest in here. Bob, you have, I'm not calling Bob. But we have Michael in the house. Now, you might say, hold on, he's always here. No, you have Mike 1. We're going to call you Mike 2.
That's
yeah?
Probably.
All right. So normally, Michael, one of our wonderful co-hosts, would be here with us on a Friday, but he's not here. But we have another Michael in the house. This is new dad. I say new because I've only just met him less than 3 months ago, and he is in the house and he has a story to tell, and I'm so excited to have him on board. Michael, welcome, man.
Hey, everybody.
All right.
Thank you. So when we talk about the social life of a dad or a father figure, we're talking about that part of his life that is generally outside of his home. And there are those who question, well, if you have a wonderful wife and a wonderful home life, do you need friends on the outside? And I would say not only is there a biblical case for that, but there's a social case for that. Men, brothers, fathers need other positive men and fathers to be bouncing boards, to be listening ears, to be models, to be a source of inspiration when life cuts us with its jagged edges. Don't you agree?
And to keep us accountable.
Yes. And David, as a dad and a minister of the gospel, would you say for men that seems to be an ever-rising need, with even with social media, even when you have hundreds of quote-unquote friends, you still need somebody you can literally call up or walk down the road and say, I need your prayers, man.
Amen. That's always been on the top of my list. But, you know, those few people are few. You know, that word friend, I think, is often overused when it comes to the social media environment.
Yes. I've known people who had or still have literally thousands of friends if you look on their thing. But they would call for something that you'd almost want to say sarcastically, but you don't do that. What about the thousands of friends that you have? We do need to have... Jonathan David had an amazing sort of relationship. Now, I know that is sometimes skewed to mean something else, and we'll talk about that another time, but that was a bonding that was unique and special, don't you think?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Now, sometimes friends can lead us down the wrong path. And sometimes we can have unhealthy allegiance to some friends. I have met Michael here to my right about 3 months now. This is one of the fathers that I've connected with. And he has a story to tell. And I'm so grateful for your willingness to share your story, Michael.
Yes, sir.
You and I spoke, and you gave me permission, but I'll only say some things and you back me up. Your mom had you when she was how old?
14 years old.
14 years old. And your dad was how old?
17.
17. Now, this is one of those reasons I believe a program like this, not just the program, but the father-child connection, not just the radio program, is so needed, because when we ask for dad tours, we're not just asking for a father figure for those kids who don't have a father figure, and Michael didn't, but also for a dad who is still a child himself. 17, your brain is not even fully developed until you're 25, let alone being a dad at 17. So a dad tour can come alongside a young dad in order to help them understand the ropes. And that's not because you and I, David, or Charles, have done it perfectly, but we can tell them what not to do.
Amen, amen.
That's true.
And so, David, not David, you're over there. Mike, you are surrounded. The Word of God talks about a cloud of witnesses. You have men here who are here for you. May I also point out something that gets me excited about this man and actually another dad, Sean? He traveled from out of town. The other dad left from the state that he was in, Tennessee, to move in to this state, Florida, to be near their children. And he took a trip from Clearwater, got a job starting on Monday. And I just want to say, man, I'm so proud of you.
That's awesome.
I appreciate that.
So let me ask you, when you were growing up, you told me a little bit that you did not have a sort of, you didn't have a relationship with your dad because he left when, you, go ahead. How, what age did you, did he leave?
So my dad left when I was about 4 years old. I didn't meet my dad till I was about 14. So even though my dad wasn't in the picture, my grandparents raised me. So I had structure in the house. Yeah, I never went without having a father figure. You know, not having my dad was detrimental, but my grandfather took over that role. So, you know, I had somebody I could look up to that could lead by example.
Hey, I think I'm hearing Bob saying, hey,
we always say good,
I'm thinking Bob is a granddad out there saying, man, we need granddad. So you had your granddad with you, and he provided some structure.
Yes, sir.
But at some stage in your life, you felt too much structure was too much. So you decided to leave, right?
Yeah, I was, you know, like they say, curiosity kills the cat. So, you know, I thought the grass was green on the other side. So I wanted to go explore for myself. And like they say, you have to let your kids learn from their mistakes. And that was the case with me learning, you know, from my mistakes, getting in trouble, being around the wrong crowd. You know, peer pressure is a thing.
Yes,
so, you have to be prepared for it. And unfortunately, you know, I ended up going down the wrong track, ended up getting in trouble. But by the grace of God, I'm still here. You know, I've made it through.
Amen.
You're still making it through. Now, you have two wonderful sons. I have met them. They are amazing. How old are they?
Joel's about to be 2 in less than a week, and my son Michael is just turning a month, little over a month.
Little over a month. Right. Now, you missed Joel's birthday, and yes, Joel, but you wanted to make sure that you are present in his life as well as Mike. You don't say Michael Jr. I know you just called him Michael.
Michael.
Yeah. And you decided you're going to do something really drastic, like pulling up roots and coming nearer to be with them.
Yeah, I just felt like I missed enough time out of his life. I wasn't there to see him come into this world. And, you know, that hurt a lot. And it hits different when you're incarcerated and you can't do anything about it. So I, you know, made a promise to myself and to my kids that I, you know, I do whatever I can to be there for them.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah.
Let me tell you something, especially listening audience, I'd like you to hear my heart here. One of the things that drive me and the guys on this show and this program is to bring up to par the services that are available to fathers and father figures. Now, without divulging too much, Mom and the children are safe in a very wonderful home in, very wonderful facility. They're being looked after, cared for, provided with counseling and all that. Dad has found himself a job. I was there. He got the interview. He got the job on the spot. But now he's looking for somewhere to live because there isn't a program for a dad who needs to get his footing in order to move forward. And one of the dreams I have, by the help of God, man, is to provide something for dads who aren't just looking for some easy way out, but they need somewhere, a space for dad. So that, you know how it becomes a vicious circle? You can't get a job if you don't have a home, because very often they want to know where's your address. But you can't get a home if you don't have a job. So it becomes a vicious circle. And so he has found a job starting next week, Monday. But at this moment, we're praying for somewhere for my brother, even though, thank God, his 2 children and his wife-to-be are in a place secure and being looked after, and I'm grateful to that for that. But yeah, we whether they are victims of domestic violence or whether they are homeless, and in this case he's not homeless because he has been evicted, it's because he has moved into town to be near to his children to get a job. But it's tight.
Yeah, and you know, Michael, I really commend you because there's a lot of men that wouldn't have done what you've done. Because I know it was hard because you had to leave everything that you knew to come to the unknown. And fatherhood is the unknown. So I really commend you on that. I'm so proud of you for doing that.
You mentioned something about your friends. You are the sort of person who... he might be the next Mike Tyson. He started boxing. Okay. Well, it wasn't called boxing then, it was fighting. But let's say he started boxing when he was very young. Okay. And then he channeled that into boxing, and you were like the national, local. Tell us more about
it. I started boxing when I was about 8 years old. By the time I was 11, I was the second in the whole United States at my weight class.
Oh. All right.
That's another famous one.
7-time state silver glove champion, 7-time regional silver glove champion, national junior Olympics, U.S. Opens. So as growing up as a kid, I had a lot of attention on me as a kid because of the boxing thing. And it was a blessing. I got to see a lot of things, you know, travel a lot of places at a young age. Yeah.
But it wasn't just the love for boxing. There was an anger that was driving you. Fortunately, you channeled it, right?
So when I was growing up, I dealt with bullying a lot. You know, I'm a small guy, pretty much smaller than everybody. But like I said, I had the Napoleon Bonaparte attitude. Hey. I was like 5 foot, but I felt like I was 10 feet. So okay. I mean, I just never backed down from anybody. And that just caused me to always be fighting all the time. And one day my grandmother introduced me to this sheriff that goes by the name of Michael LaStrange. And he introduced me into boxing, and it really took a positive turn for me, you know.
Awesome.
You mentioned you had a lot of friends, and there was this almost unquestionable commitment that you had to them, that you would almost give a life or even take a life, quoting you, for them.
It's just my loyalty to my friends. You know, I'm just protective when it comes to my friends, you know, and I feel like that goes with, for anybody, for friends and family go hand in hand. You know, my friends are my family. You know, I call all my friends my brothers or whatnot, and I just feel like, you know, just the love I have for them, that I'm willing to put, you know, my life on the line to protect them if need be, you know.
But yet,
I had to learn, you know, my lesson. And, you know, everybody's not going to be for you. Like, the feeling's not going to be mutual, you know. Mm-hmm. They might not be as compassionate, you know, about you as you are them. And I had to learn that the hard way when I went to prison. I pretty much dealt with, like, just being alone. I just felt like I was alone. And, you know, I didn't have as much support. All the friends that I had when I was out, you know, they dwindled away when that time came. So,
and not one came to visit you?
Not one visit.
Wow. Yeah, I saw that a lot because I worked in the Department of Corrections. I saw that a lot. So I'm so happy, and again, I'm so proud that you didn't take that experience and continue on a negative path. You have turned it around, and that, I'm just so proud that you're doing that.
Mike, we're going to take a break here. We call this break that we're coming up to DGJ, Dad's Got Jokes.
Oh, did you tell him he had
a joke? I didn't tell him. I didn't want to make him more nervous. So I didn't tell him that. But what I did say to David, who is here, is that, listen, to qualify as one of our inductees, he needed to bring a joke. So he's not only our producer and our in-house dad, but I think he has a joke over there. Let's hear it, David.
I do.
All right.
Why are trees so unreliable?
Oh, I haven't heard that one, but I'm gonna make a guess. They keep bending?
No. No. Does anyone else have a guess?
No, I don't.
They're shady.
They're shady.
Okay. Right. I had a feeling that was coming.
Yeah. Okay, right. Some shady friends. Okay. All right.
Well, if athletes get athlete's foot, what do astronauts get?
Okay. So athletes, if they get
athlete's foot, what do astronauts get? Mistletoe. Yeah, I like him. He's laughing at all of them. I like Michael. Hey. We got to have him here.
Yeah, really. It's so cheesy.
Thank you for saying that, Michael. Listen to a real joke now, man. So I'm sure most of you here and many who are listening have had an MRI before, but do you know dogs can't operate MRI machines?
Okay.
But cats can.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Man, that was that was clever, right?
Thank you very much. Yeah. Thank you, sir.
I had to think about it for a second. Oh, I'm like, hold on, y'all just went over my head.
But cats can. All right, then. Wow. I'm laughing at my own joke.
Why not?
Yes, why not? Listen, for those of you listening to us this morning, we ask for three things. We ask for your prayers. we ask that this program that we are on every morning, 8:30 to 9 a.m. and p.m., we started on the 1st of August, 2025, pray that God will continue to use this program to touch the lives of fathers and father figures out there and many moms from the calls that I have been getting. And to pray for dads like Sean and Michael here who are going above and beyond to, in a sense, catch up where they lost out because of choices they have made, but they want to do the right thing. Please pray that God will empower them to be the fathers that they can and should be. We're also asking for your hours. If you can give an hour a week, 60 minutes, an hour a week, bearing in mind we each get 1,440 minutes per day deposited into our time bank, times seven. But we're asking for 60 minutes of those minutes that you get to be a dad tour. So it would be somebody who could walk alongside Michael here as he tries to navigate getting back on track for his family, as well as those many, too many children and young people who don't have a father figure. We want to be specific with the time that you give. And that is, we are asking for you to be available to read to and or with a child. Now, there might be other things that you end up doing later on. Most of the dads who give the hour end up giving more than an hour because they have developed an amazing relationship with their children. But we believe strongly that education matters. And so if we invest in them by helping them to have a love for reading, Charles, you love reading. Yes. Like, that's yes. one of your biggest things, man. Yes. So the hour would be spent, or should I say invested, reading to and or with a child. I can imagine, Joel, your son and little Michael, when he grows up, having you reading to and with him. That would be amazing. And because of technology, does not matter where you are. We have people in Texas, man.
Yes.
And Delaware.
Yeah,
where,
Delaware, yes.
Who can still read to or a child because of technology, Zoom or FaceTime. And we have means of making sure you are protected. That is, there will never be a time when it's just you and the child. There will be, and it's, the sessions will be recorded anyway. So in addition to your prayers, we're asking for your hours. We're also asking for your dollars, your contribution, your tax-deductible contributions to help us make this vision a reality. We are going to be talking more next week about the long-term vision that we have. We're not just talking heads here. We have a plan. With the help of God and with your help, we can achieve. And one of them, and I'll just briefly mention it, I believe I'd like to see in every county, a place for dad, a building custom fashioned for dad and kids to meet and play and bond. I have the honor of being a facilitator for visitation for some of the dads who children and families want to have their sessions supervised. And we're having to say McDonald's or the park or somewhere like that. Not very appropriate, not very friendly, not very comfortable. So we're hoping that we can come up with something like that in every county and as God provides every city. So we look forward to your support to making things happen for our fathers and father figures. Michael, I appreciate you. I am just getting to know you, but I think I know where your heart is. And what would you say to any other dad out there who they have obstacles, big obstacles, but they need to go forward? What would you say?
Just keep going.
There you go.
Just keep going.
Because it's so easy to turn around.
Yes.
But it takes a lot of strength, and you have a lot of strength to keep going forward.
And sometimes it means stepping forward even when you don't have full assurance what the next step is. For example, he came down knowing he was going to get a job and did well at the interview. He still has the concern about, okay, where am I going to have for myself? His family, thank God, they're in a place right now, but where am I going to be? But rather than waiting until all the ducks line up, he took a bold step. That, to me, I believe God is going to honor that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
David, if you don't mind, how long have we got? I'd like you to just pray a quick prayer here first, please.
Yeah, we got a few minutes.
All right.
Yeah, so, well, Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. Father, we thank you. I thank you for the call you've put on Seamus's heart. He's a dad. He loves dads. You love dads, and you love your children that have dads, and you want to bring people together. And I just thank you, Lord, for the rich outpouring of your grace to make this happen. This program is one sign, and so many other things that have been going on, and how much more is needed in that realm, Father. As you know, so many dads that are isolated, so many dads that are hurting, lost, and don't even understand what their calling is. But I do pray and I give you thanks, Father, that not only is Seamus doing this, but you're replicating this ministry through others, and it's going to grow. I thank you, Lord, for Michael. I'm just hearing him share from his heart, and I'm hearing in what he's saying and how he's saying it. The journey has not been easy, but he's learned from it. And that learning is from you, Lord God, is grace. Grace to be the person you want us to be, and it's a lifelong endeavor, but Michael has latched on to that truth and is living it out every day. And I just thank you, Father, for this opportunity today to go out over the air, challenge the devil in his lies with the truth of the gospel, yes, from the scriptures quoted, but also from the lives being shared in all of these programs. We just come before you, Father, in Jesus' holy and precious name.
Amen. And with the few minutes that we have left, let me just say thanks to an anonymous donor who sponsored this program today. We are always grateful for whatever contribution you make, whether it's a one-time or if you wish to do it monthly. You can go to our website or you can call us at 561-229-2379. That's 561-229-2379. Or you can email us at dadup@thefatherchildconnection.org. I also want to say thanks to my wonderful co-host guys who we started together on the first of August. And I am so grateful for your commitment. David, not only are you doing double duty around there as our producer this morning, but your experience, your words of wisdom, and your heart to help dads, I appreciate very much.
Enjoyed being with you.
And listen, Michael, we are not going to leave you alone. We're not going to leave you alone. We are here for you to support you. And when we see somebody like you doing all you can to help yourself, we are encouraged to step up and dad up with you.
Amen.
So give us a call and continue to pray for us. And what we say together is
dad up.
Thanks for joining us today on the Dad Up Radio Show. We would like to hear your feedback, comments, or suggestions. Also, if you would like to support us with your prayers, hours, and dollars, you can reach us at 561-229-2379. You can call or text us at 561-229-2379 or email us at dadup@thefatherchildconnection.org. That's dadup@thefatherchildconnection.org.